This morning's scripture comes from 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 15. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had had all of the prophets killed with a sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." And then Elijah was afraid, and he got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down underneath a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." And then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." And so he got up and he ate and he drank, and then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave, and he spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of sheer silence. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant and thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away." And then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha as prophet in your place." These are our sacred stories. Our lection concerns the prophet Elijah and King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Elijah is likely familiar, at least his name, but Ahab and Jezebel may not be. Ahab and Jezebel were violent and cruel. As we read in chapter 16 of 1 Kings, Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all the kings who were before him, which is saying something, since the books of 1 and 2 Kings recount a long line of kings who did not follow God. Jezebel was the daughter of a neighboring king and a priestess of Baal. After marrying her, Ahab also begins to serve Baal, one of the gods of the Canaanite religion. Ahab and Jezebel build an altar for Baal, and according to the author of Kings, this makes God even more angry. Another reason for God's anger is that at Queen Jezebel's command, any prophet who speaks for God, and thus against King Ahab, Queen Jezebel, Baal, or any prophet of Baal, is executed. So many prophets of God have been slaughtered that Elijah thinks he is the only one left. And so Elijah sets up a confrontation, Elijah versus hundreds of the prophets of Baal. Through a series of tests, Elijah shows that Baal and his prophets are false, while God is ever faithful. You might remember these stories. It's the water on the altar and the fire from heaven. If not, 1 Kings is a great read to help you go to sleep. The people fall to their knees, worshiping God, and Elijah seizes all the prophets of Baal and has them killed. When Ahab tells Jezebel what has happened, she seeks to capture and kill Elijah. And so we come to today's lection. Elijah is afraid. He's on the run, fearing for his life. He journeys into the wilderness and sits under a solitary tree. He asks God to let him die. Tired, hungry, dehydrated, he falls asleep. A messenger of God touches him and wakes him, saying, "Get up and eat." Elijah sees food and water prepared for him. He eats and then he sleeps again. The scene is repeated with the messenger telling Elijah, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He eats and drinks, and he's given strength for the 40-day journey to the Mount of God. He spends the night in a cave, and God's voice comes to him asking, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he responds, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away." The messenger replies, "Go out and stand on the mountain, for God is about to pass by." There's a great wind, but God is not in the wind. Then an earthquake, but God is not in the earthquake. Then a fire, but God is not in the fire. And then the sound of sheer silence. Elijah steps out from the cave and God asks again, "What are you doing, Elijah?" And Elijah repeats the very same complaint. "I've been very zealous for you, God. Very passionate in my service to you. The Israelites have all turned away from you and killed your prophets, and I am the only one left. And now they want to kill me too." And from the silence, God answers Elijah. "Elijah, you don't have it quite right. There are, in fact, still thousands of faithful Israelites who have never worshiped other gods. And also, you aren't the only prophet. There's a prophet named Elisha, and you'll name him as your successor. And also, I still have work for you to do. Get up. Go and anoint a new king in the place of Ahab." Elijah is afraid for his life. He's despondent. He's depressed. And with good cause. He's trying to follow Yahweh, trying to oppose a tyrannical government, trying to stand against false prophets. He's even been successful, but there never seems to be an end to the work. He's tired. He's afraid. He feels defeated. Surely we know how Elijah feels. Our current government argued in court this week that detained migrant children do not require basic hygiene products like soap and toothbrushes to be held in safe and sanitary conditions. Lawyers who recently interviewed detained children report that children are living in traumatic and dangerous conditions. Insufficient food and water, going weeks without bathing. Kids as young as 7 being told to care for babies and toddlers. Parents and other adults in detention aren't faring any better. In one processing center in El Paso, a cell designed for 12 people was crammed with 76, causing people to stand on the toilets for breathing space. Up to 900 migrants were held at another facility designed for 125. In another case, a teenage mother holding a sick and dirty premature baby spent 9 days detained without access to medical care for herself or her newborn. Children are dying. The exact number of children who have died under the care of our federal government is unknown because of a law that does not require various agencies to report deaths. I don't know about you, but the more I learn of what is happening to human beings who have come to our country seeking asylum, seeking escape from violence, seeking a better life, the more depressed and overwhelmed I become. I'm afraid for the lives of people who need our care. I'm afraid for the lives of those who seek to be prophets of justice and peace. God hears Elijah. God sees Elijah. God sends food. Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you. God helps Elijah remember the tasks that are set for his time. God makes God's self known to Elijah. God is not in the wind. God is not in the earthquake. God is not in the fire. God is made known to Elijah in the sound of sheer silence. Elijah steps out from the cave and God asks, "What are you doing, Elijah?" Thus recalling Elijah to his work, to Elijah's work for justice. My friends, we will share a sacred meal this day, food for the journey. We need this nourishment to keep doing the work that must be done. We need to remember that we are not alone. We need to remember that God sees our faces and knows our names and goes with us. We need to remember and know that God sees the faces, dirty, hungry, desperate faces at our borders and knows each name. God loves each one of us and does the most God can do in each moment for justice, peace, and love. And my friends, we are part of the answer to what God can do. The messenger of God asks Elijah, "What are you doing? What are you doing, Elijah? Get up, drink, spend some time in silence and meditation, and then get back to work." Elijah has work to do. He needs to train the prophet Elisha. He needs to anoint a new king. Elijah, both before and after his experience of God and the silence, complains in fear, and God lets Elijah know that his fear is keeping him from seeing things clearly. The situation seems completely bleak to Elijah, but God knows that it is not. God reminds Elijah that he is not alone and helps Elijah to re-engage. We are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone. We have work to do. Right now, so many people are under attack. Trans people are being killed. Guns continue unchecked. LGBTQ rights are being eroded. Women's rights to care for our bodies are being absconded. Black people are incarcerated, abused, mistreated. The crisis at the border continues to grow. If you do not feel overwhelmed, I'm afraid you're not paying any attention. Or perhaps you're paying attention, but with so much noise, so many problems, you cannot see the work that is yours to do. We need God to speak to us. The needs are great. So too are resources. We are not alone. You might consider joining Lawyers for Good Government. They do excellent work for justice for those entering our country. You might consider joining Planned Parenthood or PFLAG or Moms Demand Gun Action or the ACLU or the ADL. You might consider joining this church as we seek as individuals and together to prepare for the work that must be done, to nourish ourselves and each other, to listen for God's call, and to work for justice. And so this day we'll nourish ourselves for the journey ahead, for the work that is ours to do. We'll come to this table and eat and drink. And as we come, we'll hold silence. We'll remember that we're not alone. Come and be nourished. Everyone is welcome at this table. You, just exactly as you are. You are welcome to this table. Come and tear bread and dip it in wine or water. And hear what you need to hear in the silence. Amen.